All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11 this morning is where we're going to start. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, of course, Paul opens up the book of Ephesians, is written from Paul's time on his third missionary journey. He found his way to the city of Ephesus, and that would be modern-day Turkey, in modern-day Turkey. So we see that Paul is away from the church at Ephesus. He's writing back to them, and he says in verse number 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And that vocation, he refers to it several times throughout the book. He's talking about being a Christian. He's talking about taking on the name of Christ. It's not something that you just put on and off. He considers it a vocation. It is something that it is a duty of anybody that has the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is their vocation to pass on Christ. It is their vocation to witness for Him. It is their vocation to live for Him. People should always know that you are a Christian. That's a great challenge for us this morning. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Brother Dwayne is sick this morning, but if you were talking about a lawyer, yes, Monday through Friday, Dwayne works in a law office, and he's a lawyer. But at any time, you could ask Brother Dwayne a lawyer question, a law question, and he would do his best to answer that for you. Why? Because that is his vocation. And it's not something where he says, "No, I don't know anything about the law on Saturday. I don't know anything about the law on Sundays." He knows the law at all times because that is what he's been trained in. That's the same idea as a doctor. A doctor is a doctor all the time. I praise the Lord for Dr. Gall. He had dropped his truck off the other day and asked if he could keep it in the parking lot. And if my foot was feeling better, I told him I would have taken it for a spin. But he left his truck here and he come back yesterday to get it. And so he come in the house and come in the room and have my foot propped up. And he said, "Man, that is swollen." I said, "It will not go down. I cannot get this thing to go down." And so he's looking at it. And of course, if you've ever been around Dr. Gall, he starts prying on it and pushing on it. And it took me 6 hours to get better after that. So, but he's always a doctor. And unbelievably, March 1st, he's going to be leaving UPMC doctoring, and he's going to Macedonia to be a doctor, and like the country of Macedonia. And he's going to be over there for 2 months this time. And then in September, he's going to go back for 3 months, and they're going to be doing that. And I said, "Well, you're not really retiring." And he said, "No." He said, "I'm just retreading." And he's just taking on a different angle of doctoring. He wants to teach young doctors. Excuse my voice this morning. I'm going to need that water. So along with this broken foot, I got a bad cold. Because the Lord loves me. And I keep reassuring myself of that. As He gives me more and more stuff to have. But I was asking Dr. Gall some questions about my foot and just some things about what the doctor said and some things about an MRI coming up and those kinds. Why could I ask that? Dr. Gall doesn't take on a doctor hat and put it on, put it off. That's his vocation. He is always that. Just like with anybody's job here. You could ask, if that is your field, anybody could ask you a question and you would know the answer or at least be able to find out the answer because that is your area of expertise. Well, that's what Paul's saying here. That's what we should be acting like as Christians. There shouldn't be a time where our neighbors say, "Well, didn't they used to go to church?" Or, "Didn't they used to love Jesus? Didn't they used to carry their Bible? Didn't they used to talk to me about the Lord when I was having rough times?" You're always a Christian. And Paul says he wants us to walk worthy of that vocation. Just like it's your job, just like it's the thing you've been trained in. But here's the thing. Many people can't act like a Christian because they will not go through the training to know what it is to be a Christian. It's like going to a crackpot doctor, a guy who got his license off the internet. No, thank you. I want to know where you went to school. I want to know what system of health you're in. If UPMC puts their stamp of approval on you, I'll go to you. If Excel Health puts their stamp of approval on you, I'll go to you. But I'm not looking up somebody on the internet and saying, well, they're cheaper. No, this is my health we're talking about. And you understand what that means. You don't want to go to some guy selling a vehicle that has a shady testimony selling vehicles. You want somebody who's got a good testimony and always is fair with people and those kinds of things. Well, that's what it's like for a doctor. A doctor's not going to be able to have a stamp of approval from UPMC if that doctor doesn't go to school, if that doctor doesn't go through training, if that doctor doesn't pass his test, if that doctor doesn't go through some internships, if that doctor's not overlooked by other doctors and making sure they're ethical and accountable. That's what it's like, Paul said, to be. He said, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation with wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then it comes to verse 11. So verse 1 through 10 is basically him saying, look, we have been called to do something in this world. We are called to this vocation called Christ-likeness. We are called to this vocation called Christianity. We are called to this thing of salvation. We are called to this thing of telling others. He says it should be done with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. And forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know one of the greatest testimonies a church can ever have is unity? Sometimes people think the greatest testimony a church can ever have is how many times it splits and how many new churches they can start. Well, we had to start this church because that preacher don't know what he's doing. We started this church. Listen, I was down south Knoxville, Tennessee. Within 5 miles of us was 325 Baptist churches. If you did the research down there, probably 275 of those started off of those first 50 churches that started. Because sometimes people just don't want to keep unity. How do you keep unity? Well, you forbear. You go with lowliness into the church. You live in the church with meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why do we come to church with lowliness of mind? Why do we come to church with meekness? Why do we come to church forbearing one another in love? Endeavoring to keep the unity. That's the greatest thing that could happen as a testimony to the outside world that there's a group of people, there's 200 people that can sit in a place and get along. We have different backgrounds. We have different jobs. We have different family backgrounds. We have different cultures. We've come from different places, different birthplaces. We have had different parents and different upbringings. But we have gotten along because of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of unity is only achieved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul says we're to walk worthy of this vocation in the Spirit. Then he says in verse number 11, how do we accomplish this in the church? This place of one Spirit, one baptism, one body, one Lord, one faith. He says in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul is challenging us here to be rooted as a church. That's the thought of the day. We've been talking about being rooted in Christ by way of salvation. We've been talking about being rooted in God's Word. That nothing, no rootedness happens in the Christian life apart from God's Word. And the Bible says we can be rooted in His wisdom. We talked about that last week. Being rooted in God's wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. God is giving to all men liberally as He will. So we see in God's Word that He wants us to be a church that is wise, that is humble, that is meek, that is joined together, fitly joined together in the unity of peace, the unity of the Spirit. He wants us to be getting along. Why? So that there's no problems? Well, yeah, it's nice to not have problems. But it's great to have unity because that is the testimony by which we are showing the world who we are. That is our vocation. That is the thing we're to be walking worthy of. We are to be rooted as a church. So what does the rooted church do? Well, number one, I would say that the rooted church imparts God's Word. It imparts God's Word. Look at verse number 11 there. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We see there's four different offices here, the apostles. Now, the apostle, I've heard this day and age, I've heard advertisements, I've even gotten flyers in the mail from different churches, and the person preaching that week, is they call themselves an apostle. That's impossible. You do not get to be an apostle. An apostle, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 1, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that He was taken up from us, must be ordained to be a witness with us of His resurrection. All the apostles were the office of the people. There was 12 of them. Judas died, and God ordained Matthias. And then Paul comes along later on and says that he was also a witness of God's resurrection. He was called an apostle. We see that an apostle must be a witness of Christ's resurrection. So the office of the apostle is gone. The office of the prophet is gone. The Bible says that a prophet was a person that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So we see the apostles and the prophets' office was for the early church. The early church blossomed and the early church grew because of the office of the apostle and the prophet. Why would those be important? Well, the office of the apostle was important and the prophet was important because they were a witness. They personally could testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we are a people who testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we have not witnessed it. Right? We are a person who testifies of it because of what we have heard, what we have read. That's why we call it faith, because that's what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. We believe that He's a resurrected Savior. These people knew He was. So for the early church to spread so quickly, it was witnesses of His resurrection that had the office of the apostle and the prophet that spread the word of Jesus' resurrection so quickly. They were person-to-person testifiers of it, witnesses of His resurrection, and the early church just just blossomed. In Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost. We see 3,000 souls getting saved in Jerusalem. We see that the early church started very, very quickly after Christ's ascension. But then he says, then there's this other group of people. He gave some apostles and some prophets. And he says, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Today we have the office of the evangelist. Now we've kind of distorted the office of the evangelist. The evangelist, the word evangelist, means a person who gives the good news. It is a person who is specifically trying to, they bring good tidings. That's what the word means. They're specifically an office that is to see people get saved. So if we were to have a revival, we were to have a citywide rally, a citywide conference, we would maybe bring an evangelist in, and we would try to all invite somebody who we didn't think might be saved. And that evangelist would come in and bring good tidings. You could also say the evangelist could be a church planner. Somebody who goes to an area that does not have a church. And they begin to plant a church and try to call out from among that community a body of believers. You could call them a missionary. A person who goes to maybe a foreign field or a mission field and tries to see people get saved in that mission field. Or they could be a traveling preacher. Somebody that we would have in to share the gospel. That would share maybe a certain topic or a certain thing about Christ, a study about Christ, and see a revival, see souls being saved. Sometimes we interchange these words like revival and things of that nature. Revival is God's people being revived. An evangelist is for the fact of coming in and seeing people get saved. I don't think vived is a word, but we want people to get saved. So we see people get saved. We see people get revived. We would credit that to the office of the evangelist. We would want an evangelist to be that kind of person. Then the Bible says the other way that God's word is imparted is not only by traveling preachers and by missionaries or a church planner, somebody that comes and specifically is trying to see the salvation message go forward, but we would also say the Bible says that God gave the church pastors and teachers. Because the word some is only before each of the offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then pastors and teachers, we believe that pastors and teachers are the same thing. That are could be the same person, not the same thing, but the same person. A pastor is the overseer. A pastor is a person who is trying to teach the people, commit thou to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. We see that the word teacher is a person who would teach line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We call that maybe a Sunday school teacher. The pastor can be a teacher, teaching little by little through the Word of God. But why is it important that these offices exist in the church? It's important because the Bible says that is how we achieve people learning in the church. That is how people are taught in the church. We take the Word of God and we preach the Word of God. We take the Word of God and we teach the Word of God. We take the Word of God and we present the gospel message. We take the Word of God and we start a church. We plant a church somewhere that doesn't have a church. We take the Word of God to a foreign field, to people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And we try to see them get saved and start a church. And the Bible says this is why He gave, so that these people in the church could impart to the church the Word of God. If I could say this, you are in training this morning. You have a vocation. If you are saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a vocation this morning. Now, you might be a roofer. You might be a contractor. You might be a lawyer. You might be a doctor. You might be a physician. You might be a computer tech. Whatever the case is, you have another vocation. You are bivocational. Anybody know what bivocational means? You have more than one occupation. Some pastors have to be bivocational. I met lots of pastors. I'm just glad to be a pastor. But we are all bivocational. You are to have the job that you have. You are a prison guard, Mr. Fran. But today, when you go to work, if it works this afternoon, Oh, praise the Lord, man. Day off. When you go back to work tomorrow, you go back to work tomorrow? Wendy, does he have a job? Oh, that's right. It is a holiday. The prisoners promised to be good. You don't even have to go to work, man. So we'll be good. It's President's Day. We'll be respectful. You can give all the guards the day off. When you go back to work at some point in the future, you are going to be bivocational. He'll be a prison guard, and he will also be a Christian. And he is to be worthy of the vocation to which he is called. Every person, when he goes over to the Westmoreland prison, they certainly want him to be the right kind of guard. They want him to be above board, to be ethical, to be moral, to be forceful if he has to be, but to be kind, to keep unity. That is his vocation. But he's bivocational. And no matter what people see as his job, he also has another vocation, and that is a representative of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us ambassadors. You hear that word in the news a lot lately. This transition of power through the different presidents and from administration to administration. There are different ambassadors that are being sent out. An ambassador to Israel, an ambassador to Germany, doesn't go over and make up what they want to say. Matter of fact, our vice president, as an ambassador yesterday, went to Germany, and if you heard the news conference, it was awesome. He stood up and said, I am here on behalf of the President of the United States, and I want to tell you that he told me to tell you, and then he said it. What is that? He's an ambassador. He's a representative. He is not the president. He's representing the president. And when you go to work tomorrow, or whenever, someday, if you ever go back to work, you have your job. But alongside of that job, the world is watching you, and Jesus is watching you, and you are an ambassador for him. When you walk into the store, preferably Walmart, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. When you go to the gas station, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. When you walk into your home today with your spouse and with your children, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Walk worthy of that vocation. You say, well, what do I do as an ambassador? You're learning right now what to do. That's why we come to church. That's why you'll come back this evening. I know you will. I know you'll come back this evening. I know it's in your heart of hearts. You're just dying to get this service over so that you can come back this evening. Why do we come Sunday nights? Why do we come Wednesday nights? Because we're learning our vocation. It's your training. It's your. Why do we want people to come to Sunday school? Well, Sunday school, I don't know. You need to come to Sunday school so you can learn better how to be an ambassador. To learn better your vocation. When I was in college, they did not say, well, Matt, you are an exception here at the college. We know you want to be a youth pastor and a pastor someday. And a music director. So here's what we're going to do. You just come to the classes you want to come to. You know, they never gave me that option. Matter of fact, when I missed classes, they gave me demerits. Stinking people. I was tired, man. I got to sleep in sometimes. No, they wanted me at every class. Why? Because that college knew that I was going to go out and on my wall would hang a certificate that says, I graduated from such and such a college, and when I graduated from such and such a college, they didn't want me out being a doofus. For lack of a better word. They wanted me to go out and represent Jesus Christ, my family, and the college the right way. So they demanded me to be at every class so that I could sit under professors and preachers and teachers that were over me that had been there before and done it before so that I would learn how to be a youth pastor, so I could learn how to be a pastor, so I could learn how to be a music director, and then I could stand up and actually be worthy of the vocation God has called me to. So they demanded me be in classes for that training. I find it amazing how cavalier we treat church attendance. It is no wonder we have people in this world that are going to work and somebody says, I'm going through a tough time, and you cower away from them rather than wrapping your loving arms around them and saying, let me lead you to somebody like Jesus. Let me take you to somebody who cares for you. His name is God. And He so loved the world that He gave His only... You don't have to scream at Him like that. Probably scare Him a little bit. I get excited. Maybe that's why nobody wants to be around me. I yell at Him when I'm telling the Bible. But that's why you're here. Sometimes people say, well, I wasn't very entertained. I hope that you have a great time at church, but you're not here for entertainment. And I hope you have a good time of fellowship in Sunday school, but that's not why you're in Sunday school. And you'll come back tonight and we won't have a choir and it won't be as big of a service. It'll just be teaching and preaching. And you know what? That's got to be okay, because you're in class and you're in training to walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith we are called. Amen. And the people that God has given to you in your life to impart that training to you is your pastor and the evangelist and your teachers. Some people say, well, I can just have church at home. Not and get what God wants you to. Not walk worthy of the vocation God's called you to. Not going to get that at home. Now, there are times throughout the year we give you a night off. Because I'm a good boss. I'm a good teacher. Mother's Day, we're going to have church in the morning and then you can go be with your mom. We have 38 or 39 times during the year that you could come back in the evening after the morning and be here for a service and get more training. Why? Because there's people standing in this pulpit who are imparting the training. Commit thou to faithful men. Sometimes I've had people in our church over the last 15 years. I've had people in the church that I'm just praying they don't go out and tell people where they go to church. You can gasp if you want to. They're here only Sunday morning and they look like they just rolled out of bed and then they go back to work and they got bad language. They're talking like they ought not to talk, telling jokes they ought not to, laughing at all the vulgarity, gossiping, complaining about everything in the workplace. And then at lunchtime, I say, hey, you should come to church with me at Bible Baptist Church. No. That is not walking worthy of your vocation. And there's people who are imparting these truths to you. And the Bible says to commit those things to faithful men. Why? That they may be able to teach others also. So you can go to work and represent as an ambassador, not me, Jesus Christ. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, go to the store and tell somebody where you go to church and have them come to hear a gospel message. Have them come to meet your preacher. Have them come to meet your Sunday school teacher. Have them come to learn where you have learned. Because you are learning your vocation today. Yes, you went to school to be a plumber. Yes, you went to school to be a doctor. Yes, you went to school to be a manager. Yes, you went to school for business. But you're in church to go out and represent Christ as a Christian. So, number one, we must impart the Word of God continually. Sunday school teachers, listen. Have a great time. Prayer requests, praises, do all of those things. But impart the Word of truth. School teachers, teach the math, teach the science, teach the English, but above all, make sure our children are being imparted the Word of God. I'm challenged as a pastor that all the series ideas I've got going on in my head and where we're going as a church and what's going to happen in 2017 and we want to grow and see great things. Lord, help me to impart Your Word. Help me to be worthy of the vocation of not pastor, my vocation of Christian. My vocation of an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And why? Why do we impart the Word of God? So number two, we can continue in God's truth. so each of us can continue in God's truth. Look at the next verse there. He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here it is, four. Yeah, I love the Bible. What? Why do I have a pastor? Glad you asked. Here's what it's for. For the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting is not necessarily meaning perfect, as in you're sinless. That's an impossibility in this life. We have been saved by God. We have been saved by Jesus Christ's blood and His shed blood on the cross. But we cannot be perfect because the Bible says our spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. There will always be trip-ups. There will always be times we'll fail. There will always be times that we fall. But the Bible says that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's our job. If we fall, get up. The Bible says you are in church today so that you can be perfected. That word perfected is matured, completed, equipped for the equipping of the saints. For you are going into a battle this week at work. You are going into the battle this week in the world. And you need to be equipped. You need to have some maturity. You need to be able to handle people that mock the things of God. I don't know if I've heard more divisiveness in this world since I've been alive for 38 years. I don't know if I've ever heard more divisiveness about politics. It is going to be a Christian who is going to stand up for Jesus Christ. You do not have to stand up for your president. You pray for him. You do not have to stand up for the other side, this party against that. Leave all that to the world. You become mature. You become equipped. You become a mature Christian and act like a Christian. Act like an ambassador would. We don't get into war of words. We don't get into insulting somebody so we look better. We must be mature. Where do you learn that? You learn that from the Word of God and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. You have a pastor in your life so that you will be matured. You've got to be here to learn something. You must be in the house of God. Okay, this week I'm going to be an ambassador. This week I'm going to represent Christ. How should I represent Him this week? With maturity. And mature people are lowly. Mature people are meek. Mature people are long-suffering. Mature people are forbearing one another with love. Mature people endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Mature people realize that a church cannot grow if I am not faithful. Mature people understand that I have my place in the body. Mature people understand that when church gathers on Sunday night, I need to be in my place. Because that's where I'm going to become mature. That's where I'm going to learn what God has for me. That's where I'm going to learn what God has for me next on this journey of life. Oh, I have a job. I have a career. I have a spouse. I have children. I'm a father. I'm a husband. But you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And we have got to start maturing. And when we lay out of church, and when we don't come to under the preaching and teaching of God's Word in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, when we're not in a club, when we don't have our children there, some of you struggle with your children. Let me help you. Get them in church more often. When is my young person going to mature? When is my young person going to grow up spiritually? Get them to church. Somebody lives under your roof, get them to church. Not so that I can see a number on a board. That number fluctuates. If I went on the number of the board, I'd be depressed sometimes. I'm looking at your hearts today. I'm looking at your eyes today. I'm looking at what you are today as God's people. And this week you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have a vocation, and that is to represent Jesus Christ the right way. It is to represent Christianity the right way. It is to represent your pastor the right way. It is to represent your church the right way. It is to represent your family name the right way. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we must be maturing so that we can impart the word of truth and include people, the saints of the church, so that we can continue to press on in the truth Bible says, number two, the reason we come to church, the reason we're in unity here, we're one body here, the reason God's given you evangelists and pastors and teachers, the reason you have those people in your life is not only so that you'll mature, but number two, for the work of the ministry. Some of you, I'd love for you to be involved in Sunday school. I'd love for you to become a Sunday school teacher. I'd love for you to become a person that works in the bus ministry. We need so much help in our bus ministry. But I have people come to me sometimes and say, I'd like to do this or do that. Do you realize that maturity comes before working? You are, the Bible says, your pastors and teachers and evangelists are here for the perfecting, for the maturing, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's maturing for the work. And some people want to be so involved in the ministry. And listen, there's something for everybody to do. But I'm here to tell you, the further you want to go in the work, the further you want to do something in the ministry, you've got to be further matured. You've got to be in services. You've got to be learning. You've got to be growing. You've got to be the right kind of spouse. You've got to be the right kind of parent. I've had people tell me one time, I've had certain people tell me over the years that they want to teach this class or that class, and sometimes it'll have to do with marriage or raising kids, and I have to step back and think, I'm going to have to wait until your marriage is right. I'm not talking about perfect, I'm talking about equipped. I'm talking about maturing. Preacher, I'd like to get up in the pulpit and preach sometime. Well, I would love for you to do that, but you're going to have to mature. Preacher, I'd like to be involved in this ministry. I would love for you to be involved in that ministry. But we've got to be equipped. And being equipped comes by being in Sunday school, by being in church, by being in training, by listening, by putting into your life the things that you are learning. So that we can impart the word of truth so that you can continue in the truth. For the work of the ministry. And then I love this last one. Why? Why do you have pastors and teachers and evangelists, and why do people pour their life into you for the perfecting and the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry? So much to be done in this day and age for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying. Satan is continually working to tear down the body of Christ. Can I tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen the sicknesses and the flus and the colds and the things that go around in this church. I don't know that I've ever seen it worse than it is right now. There are some people that could use some encouragement. There are some people that are hurting right now. I know they wouldn't want me to say it, but the Palmers are here this morning. They've lost their granddad. They've lost a friend. I know some of you are going through children having surgeries, and some of you are having sicknesses. And Brother Dwayne, I don't remember the last time Dwayne was sick. I really couldn't tell you. I've been here 15 years, maybe once or twice. I've seen him have sniffles. He's got the flu, man. We have a friend down in Tennessee. Their 17-year-old boy has been admitted to the hospital with encephalitis as a result of the flu. His mind has gone crazy. They're trying to admit him into the psych ward. He's lost it. They don't know when he's going to come out of it. They've had to tie him down to a bed. And they're being run over down there. They're going through it. And you get on Facebook and somebody says, well, search your heart, make sure there's no wickedness. Yeah, that's what they need. Yeah, you're right, that's what they need. They need you to make a joke about their injury. They need you to make a joke about their kid being sick again. No, the Bible says mature people, equipped people, are working in the ministry, and they know the people in the ministry, and they know the people in the church, and they're doing what? Edifying. Building up. Loving. Building them up. Being kind to them. Getting into their soul and seeing how you can be a blessing to them and a help to them. Listen, why? Because the Bible says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Wow, what a goal. What a goal to have unity in the faith. What a goal to have unity in our church. Total unity. Well, we first of all need pastors and teachers and people leading people. But we've got to be able to commit those things to faithful men. And as we commit those things to faithful men, it is so that you'll mature. It is so that you'll come alongside. Listen, if you're depending upon the pastors of this church and the Sunday school teachers of this church, if you're depending on 5 or 6 people to do the work of this ministry will fall flat on its face. And every once in a while when I think I'm just doing just about everything, you know me, I'm just doing everything, God just puts me flat on my back and says, see, there's other people doing it. Matter of fact, there's a lot of other people doing it. This is not a knock against you. I want every person in this room to be involved, though. I want every person in this room to be maturing. Not just for the work of this ministry, not just for the edifying of the body of Christ in this church, but because you're going this week to be an ambassador. And I realize as your pastor, if you're not mature enough this week, you will not see the opportunities to tell people about the Lord. If you're not mature enough this week, if you're not equipped, if I don't equip you today, if I don't get to you what needs to be given, and you'll not be able to pass on this week what needs to be passed on. But number two, I have a responsibility. But number two, you've got to take it. You've got to swallow it. You've got to let it say, that's my doctor today. He's giving me some medicine. Anybody ever had Mucinex? Anybody ever taken Mucinex? Oh, my word. I just told my wife, go get a gallon of diesel fuel. I'd rather take that than Mucinex. What in the world is that stuff? But I got a cold. And my wife said, you got to take Mucinex. I got a man cold. I mean, like, basically, I almost called an ambulance last night. It was bad. It was bad. I mean, like, I had to use, like, 2 tissues. Mucus, man, just coughing. Horrible. I mean, near death. Near death. A lot better today. Praise the Lord. But what do I have to do? I had to take my medicine. I have to take DayQuil. I have to take my medicine for my Crohn's disease. I hate that stuff. But I'm not going to be able to get up. I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do if I don't take my medicine. Listen, you're not going to be able to represent the Lord this week if you don't take this. Some of you got to come along in the faith. Some of you got to become more faithful. Some of you got to start asking the right questions. Some of you need to get into your devotions and start reading God's Word every day. Because we need help in equipping the saints. We need help in the work of the ministry. We need help to edify others. And listen, I'm for you. I know you're for me. I know you're for the pastors of this church. I haven't felt any part of this church that is against the pastoral people that God's given you in your life. But let's grow. Let's all come in the unity of the faith. Let's all gather around God's Word every time it's open. Let's all gather and make sure we're being equipped to do what God wants us to do. We are ambassadors. We are witnesses this week. We are representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. May God help us as people impart to continue and be faithful. Would you stand together with me for a word of prayer?